And Jess, thank you for leading in the singing today. Someone had to do it, and it was probably good it wasn't me. Why don't we begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of gathering. And though our pastor is away, Father, we still come together to worship, to honor, to cherish you above all. We ask God to please bless this service. Keep our pastor safe while he's away. And Lord, let everyone here continue to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I'm getting ready to start, some of you are going to hear this, the title of this sermon. And I guarantee you, there's going to be a couple of you who, if you really know me, are probably going to groan or roll your eyes. Thank you. The title of this sermon is Light versus Dark. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I'm a huge Star Wars guy, light side, dark side of the Force, but that has nothing to do with my sermon, I promise. I won't be breaking out lightsabers or trying to use the Force on you guys, I promise. It would be funny, yes, but it's not very church appropriate, yes. We're going to be spending most of our time in the Gospel of John, but we'll go into other places too. We'll start out in John chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14, and this is just to give us a little background, we'll just get started. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, well, the main things I want to point out in here is that, one, Jesus is definitely God based upon this, but Jesus is also called the light in this passage as well. And if you turn over to John chapter 3, starting in verse 16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, down through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. Now, in verse 19 it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. See, the Bible calls Jesus Christ the light. That is one of the titles that he is given. And the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Light does certain things. You can't hide in light. Light exposes. Light shows you what's real. You can deny everything in the dark, but when the lights come on and you see what's in front of you, I mean, you can deny it in your mind, but in truth, the truth is that it's right there in front of you. You cannot hide it anymore. And I think that's why men love darkness rather than light, because when they step into the light that is Christ, one of the first things they have to do is they gotta to see exactly what they are. We are lost creatures without Christ. And because of that, and because we think, well, I don't care what other people say, I think I'm good in my own mind, we want to stay in that darkness because the darkness is much more comfortable for us as human beings because we don't have to deal with the fact of all the things we do wrong and the fact that we need a Savior. In verse 20, it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to his light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now, I actually did a little research for this. I went and looked up the word reproved. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but the Greek word is elgacho. I think is how you pronounce it. It literally means to correct. Not in a malice way, but in the way that a teacher corrects a student when he answers a question wrong. And I think it's very interesting. Jesus chose to explain in this way, lest their deeds should be reproved. What he is saying is that God's not going to, that's the right word for it here. When he says reprove, he's saying that, yes, you're going to be corrected, but it's going to be in a loving way, a way that needs to be corrected. You know, a teacher, despite what a lot of people say today, a teacher cannot just let a student continually get a question wrong and say that's fine. A teacher needs to correct the student when the student is wrong. Otherwise, how is the student going to learn? And when we come into the light that is Jesus, Jesus needs to correct us when we do wrong. Otherwise, how are we going to learn? We're separated from God, and we need to understand that Jesus Christ is the bridge the bridge of the gap for that separation that brings us to God. And we need to realize that he needs to correct us. The problem is that we as humans don't want correction. We want to keep on living our lives as we see fit. You know, we often talk about original sin. I won't go there, but you know, in Genesis, when Eve ate the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree, and we don't know if it was an apple or not. We don't know what kind of fruit it was, but then Adam ate it, and then sin entered the world, and that is original sin. But that wasn't the first sin. The first sin we can read about in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 14. And this is probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture, I know. But I like this one. I like reading this one because it just reminds me of how far we can go and how far we can fall if we keep turning our backs on God and thinking we're better than Him. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Satan became prideful. The beautiful creation, Lucifer, the most beautiful creation, became prideful. He looked at himself and said, "Man, I am so great. I am just so perfect. Why, I am better than every angel up here. I am better than all of the creation." And he started thinking, "Well, if I'm better than the creation, that must mean I'm as good as the Creator. And if I'm as good as the Creator, that means I can be better than the Creator because I am absolutely perfect." The first sin was pride. Satan had so much pride in himself that he came to think he could take the throne of God. He could set himself above God. Well, Satan was cast out. Satan lost the battle. And you know what's even, you know what's really strange? You would think after such a dismal defeat, he would have learned his lesson. But he hasn't. Satan is still fighting against God today. And although Satan knows he's read the book. He knows he's going to lose. He's convinced himself he's going to win because he keeps fighting. If he had any, I know he's smart, but if he had anything, if he wasn't so guided by his own pride, he would have surrendered a long time ago and said, I can't win, God. You're going to win. I give up. And we hear that and we say, man, that is so foolish of Satan. How can he think he's going to win? But guess what? Human beings have that exact same problem. We are so convinced of our own goodness that we are not willing to step into the light and say, I need to be fixed. I need God. I need a Savior. I need the light of God. No, we would rather stay in darkness. Why? Because it's so much more comfortable for us that we don't have to deal with the fact that we're sinners. We can reject God and think of our own goodness. I think most people would rather spend their time in darkness because they think God's going to ask so much of them, but God doesn't ask so little. He just wants us to accept him. He wants us to know him and love him. He wants us to accept his son. But we're so stuck on human ways. We're so stuck on doing things our own way that we would just reject everything God has to offer just because we want to do things our way. And the sad thing is that people will go to churches, they'll embrace religions, they'll take parts in rituals, thinking, oh, well, I can live my life how I want to do it, but I'll just go and do these little things and God will still be happy with me. I was once told that I could do whatever I wanted to, however I wanted to, as often as I wanted to, as long as I confessed it every Saturday. And that's not how it works. Turn to James chapter 4. James is really a book that'll humble you if you really spend time on it. It really will. Chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The problem with pride, with us is our pride. Our pride leaves us in darkness because we're not willing to give it up. Pride keeps us locked into the darkness. You know, maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems to me that when you get right down to it, no matter what your sin is, it's not necessarily that sin that keeps you in bondage. It's pride that keeps you in bondage. If you're having trouble with lust and you know you have a problem, but your pride tells you it's okay, that pride is convincing you that you're doing nothing wrong, and you won't give it up. If you are told, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and you're shown from the Bible that it's wrong, and it's put in front of you plainly, and you don't want to give it up, it's not that individual sin that's keeping you, it's your pride in yourself saying, I don't have to give up that sin. The sin that caused the downfall of Lucifer, the sin that caused Satan to fall, is the sin that keeps us from God. Even after we're saved, we still sometimes cling to the old things of the past because we don't think we need to change, or because we're just too bitter over something, or we're just too prideful. We have to be willing to look at ourselves and say, I can't do this. We have to be willing to say, God, it's all you. Let's turn back to John and back to chapter 3. And we'll read verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought after God. Now, I also did some more research looking up things. The Greek word for manifest is phaneru, which means to make known what is hidden. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. His deeds may be made clear, that they are wrought after God. And I looked up wrought too. I didn't find the Greek word, but literally it means not just make known, but to, I'm going to rephrase this, but wrought means created by. It means it comes from. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. What God is saying is that when you come to the truth, you come into the light, your deeds will come from God. They'll be created by God, and they'll be known by who needs to know. One of the things that I just talk about pride, people do good works to be seen. That's an act of pride. That's not an act of goodness. When you do good works for God, you don't do it to be seen. You do it because you love the Lord and because he's leading you to do what he wants you to do. And when he's leading you to do what you want to do, you will get credit. You will be known for it, but not because you want to be done, but because God decides, you know what? I like what you're doing. And you know, maybe the only people who know are him and the angels in heaven. But the ones who need to know will know. And frankly, if God is the only one who does know, then everyone who then is perfect, because God will bless it in one way or another. Maybe not in this lifetime, but God will bless it. See, coming into the light means giving up yourself, giving up your pride, giving up your sin. Accepting Christ as your Savior. Yeah, it's going to be a struggle, yes. Getting saved is the first step. You really got to work hard. That's why God commands us to go to church, to read the Bible, to pray, to fellowship with believers. All those things need to be done, yes. But we need to separate ourselves from what we think is good and submit it to God. And in the end, what we choose, light or darkness, will be manifested in eternity. We'll be there in eternity. Because what we choose is going to be a result. I said that entirely wrong. Sorry. In the end, we'll choose light or dark. If you go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. There's lots of passages I could turn to. I just decided on this one. And I say unto you that... Oh, I'm sorry. We'll read chapter 11 first. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is hell. Okay, now I'm going to be a little blunt here, but when you choose darkness in this life, you choose to reject Christ, you choose to reject the light, well, you know what? If you want darkness, God's going to give you darkness. He's going to give you darkness like you can't believe. And that darkness, there'll be weeping, gnashing, there's fire. You won't be able to see. You will have the darkness that you want, only you'll discover it's not the darkness that you wanted. But everyone in hell acknowledges they deserve to be there. And everyone will acknowledge they rejected the light and embraced darkness. And because God said, okay, fine. You want darkness? Here you go. I hate to sound so blunt, but you know, that's the way God is. God doesn't mince words. He tells you straight out. Hell is dark. So if you're in darkness now, my suggestion is to get out of that darkness and get into the light, which is Jesus Christ. Because the eternal darkness of hell and the bottomless pit, you will spend your entire eternity. yes, you'll be pain and suffering, but the worst part about it is you'll spend your entire eternity knowing you rejected the God who loved you. You rejected the light that came for you, the light that was there for you and you as an individual. But on the other hand, turn to Revelation 22, verse 5. But those of us who are saved, who embrace Jesus Christ as our light, have looked forward to. 22 verse 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever. For those of us who are saved, we get the opposite. We don't get darkness at all. There's no night. There's no need for candles. There's no need for light bulbs. There's no need for flashlights. There's no need for the sun. Because God himself will light everything. And that is the light that casts no shadows. I got lights on me right now. I create a shadow right here. But you know what? These things won't exist anymore. Because the light of God will light up everything. And you'll be able to just glow in, you'll be able to just grow in God and just get close to him. And his light is wonderful and perfect and it loves. And we will, the Bible says, we will reign forever and ever. That light is so wonderful. As a human beings, we can only scratch the surface of the comprehension of what that light's going to be like. We have the Bible telling us, but we won't really understand, we won't really see until we're in heaven. And that's just the wonder of God. When we accept Christ as our Savior, that's there for us. All we need to do is let go of our pride and just say yes. Yes to God. Yes to Jesus. Yes to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I'm not a long preacher. I try, but I can't do long sermons. I just hope that this sermon was a sermon that you liked. I ask you, God, to please be with Open Door. We once again pray for our pastor. Lord, he is away, but everyone decided to come here tonight, Lord, because coming to see you is much more important. And I ask you, God, to please continue to bless Open Door. Let us grow. And Lord, bless everyone here. And God, just stay with us, Lord. Don't let us fall. Don't let us go back to darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.